Will y'all bow your heads and close your eyes with me just for a moment? I know this is a busy time this morning, and maybe some went to great lengths to be here this morning. I just want you to rest and just stop and think what's been sung over you this morning. If you've been here the last few weeks, you've heard that this Jesus that we celebrate, not just today, but every Sunday that we gather together in His name, that He's always been. His birth on Christmas morning, the first Christmas morning, wasn't His existence just happening. It was Him coming on a rescue mission, as Jesse said. Always been, but stepped in out of eternity, out of heaven's glory, stepped into human existence for your restoration. Not just mine, not just those that you think have everything put together in a neater box or cleaned up, but your restoration. That's what Christmas is about. Let's just stop in just a second, just as the psalmist says, Jesse and Jonathan are going to keep playing just for a second, and just be still and know that God is God and that He has intervened on our behalf. Step into human history to restore your soul as sons and daughters. Let's just worship Him in just the stillness of this moment, just for a second. So, Father, we do come. We thank You. We worship You this morning for Jesus, You always having been. John 1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. You entered into human history for one reason: our restoration. Where sin had broken fellowship, You bridged the gap. You made a way. You lived a perfect life. You died a sinner's death on a cross. We're buried in a borrowed tomb, and 3 days later rose and are now ascended at the right hand of the Father on our behalf, interceding for us. You love us. You have restored us. You have brought us into a loving relationship with a Father that was always meant to be sons and daughters of a holy God. Thank You for that. We worship You this morning for that. Jesus, we thank You for Your birth, Your life, Your death, Your resurrection. Father, just relationship. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit that makes all of these things possible. We love You. We're here to gather and worship today. We pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes. Wasn't that good? This morning, our time in the Word is going to be a little shorter than normal because we've got some other things planned for you this morning that hopefully is just as much impactful of letting you know that you are loved, you are known, more so than just by people out here, but by a loving Father and the Son, Jesus, that came. As I said in a prayer, we've the last few weeks have kind of looked at this broad story that, you know, Jesus has always been, that we look at Genesis 1:1 and we see the words just like all the old stories of once upon a time. We see the in the beginning part, but that really wasn't the beginning, right? And so when we look at that and we see that John 1:1, right, in the beginning was the Word, that He has always been. And when you think about that, it's an amazing thing when you think that Jesus, this one who has always been, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, always have been, but that Jesus stepped into human history for your restoration. That's what Christmas is about. It's not just a baby being born in a manger just for a cute little nativity scene. This is for your restoration, to make us sons and daughters through Him, through His life and death and burial and resurrection. All of these things are possible. We do know that Jesus entered into human history, and I want to read this story this morning. It's a perfect day for it as we celebrate this season, but I also want to share just a little bit extra this morning after the birth of Jesus. You've heard the scripture before, but Luke chapter 2 says it in this way. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that All the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem because it was the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Jesse just talked about this, but it says, in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." By the way, I want you to stop there and listen. It doesn't say all the people that have everything together. It doesn't say all the people that will act just right all the time. Listen to those words again. "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased." Can you imagine the scene that this amazing announcement came to the dirty, the nasty shepherds out keeping watch over their flock by night? And it says, a multitude of heavenly hosts, an amazing worship service broke out, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went. With haste, they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God, for they had all heard and seen as it had been told to them. It goes on to say, at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now, you've heard this story and you know that Jesus enters human history, right? It's about our restoration. We've talked about these things for a week going on, but I want to talk and take just a step further. And I believe it's of utmost importance, the most important thing that you possibly could hear in your entire life. In fact, the most important news that you could ever hear. And in fact, it's one that you have to answer. You have to reason within yourself to respond in one of two ways. 40 days after Jesus' birth, he was to be presented at the temple. This was Jewish law. And I want you to see about an encounter. So 40 days after Jesus' birth, 40 days after God himself enters into human history for you and I, our restoration. It says, "And when the time came for the purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him," meaning Jesus, "up to Jerusalem to present him before the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens a womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law to the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This was a man who was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him. By the way, I just want you to know this, that we believe in this place that there's nothing special that we have to do for the Holy Spirit to be upon you. In fact, we believe that the Holy Spirit speaks to all of us. Whether we choose to listen or not is another thing. And not to sound so mystical, and maybe out there you say, "I don't know about a Holy Spirit." You know what that is, that inner voice, that something some would call a conscience. We believe that that is the Holy Spirit speaking, drawing us to our Father. So this man in Jerusalem named Simeon was there. He was righteous and devout, waiting for this thing that was supposed to come to Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And then listen to what the Holy Spirit said. It revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And in the spirit, he was led to go to the temple. And when the parents brought in this child, Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law, Simeon takes Jesus and puts him in his arms, and he blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word." What had been promised to Simeon? Simeon had been promised to see the Savior, the Messiah, the one that had been promised. Listen to what he says here. This is the key to everything we do out here. When Simeon sees and lays eyes on the child Jesus, led by the Holy Spirit, he says, "My eyes have seen your salvation, that you prepared in the presence of all these people a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." In other words, for all people, not just the Jews, for all. And it goes on to say that his father and mother marveled at what was said about him, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign." I want you to just to stop and think here. Simeon had been promised that he would see this chosen Messiah, right? This one that would enter human history and restore all of mankind. And when he sees Jesus, when he sees this baby that 40 days prior was born in a manger in the story that we just read, the reason that we celebrate, when he sees this Jesus, he says this, "My eyes have seen your salvation." So we get asked so many times, why do you do this out here? Why are you doing this? What is the purpose for the church at Southside? It is this. I want everybody to look this way, even in the back here. I want you to listen to me. If you've ever wondered, what is the purpose of us gathering out here? It is so when you too, like Simeon, are encountered with who Jesus is, that hopefully, led by that same Holy Spirit, you say, "My eyes have seen your salvation." I want you to know this morning that if you're counting on any other thing when you leave this life, if you're counting on good deeds, if you're counting on trying to do enough good things that it weighs the scales, if you're counting on a church membership, if you're counting on just trying to be a good guy or a good girl, none of that will matter unless you have seen this same Jesus and said, "That is my salvation." What a beautiful morning it would be just right here upon Christmas that maybe for the first time you could celebrate Christmas truly for the first time. Santa Claus, reindeer, all of those things, Christmas trees are wonderful. It's great. But the real meaning of this is this baby, this child that was born, that entered human history on your and my behalf, is the reason for it all. And we look at him and we say, "My eyes have seen your salvation." Would you do me a favor this morning? I said I was going to be a little briefer this morning. I want you just to bow your head and close your eyes, because I think coming to a moment like this, there's no way that we can't stop and pause and think of the story that we've just heard. Maybe we've heard it for the 1,000th time today. Maybe you've heard it for the first. But I want you to just stop and to think and ask the Holy Spirit, "Holy Spirit, would you speak to me in a fresh way this morning over this story?" And maybe you too, like Simeon, come to a time like this and say, "My eyes have seen your salvation." Could it be that this is the first Christmas that you introduce yourself to who this Jesus is? You say, "I've been seeing him. I've been out here. I've been hearing about him, but I want to know about this salvation." Could it be that today is your introduction to the one that stepped out of heaven and restored your soul? Man, that's a beautiful gift. We get it so twisted about gifts at Christmas time, but that's the greatest gift that's ever been given, no matter what is given from here on out. The gift of our salvation. This morning, I'm going to ask that if you would say, "Man, I've never met Jesus on a personal level, I'd love to tell you more about him. Come talk with me. Come talk to anybody that you know out here that knows him. We'd be glad to share with him." It doesn't have to be me. It doesn't have to be anyone that served you in line. It could be a friend. Say, "Do you know Jesus? I want to know more about him." Just meet him today for the first time. Celebrate Christmas truly in that way. I also want to say this to the ones that maybe have known him and said, "Man, I walked away. I've been away from this whole Jesus thing for a long time." He's not mad. He's not upset. He's not angry. He's not put a do not cross and do not come back in. He's there with open arms and saying, just come back. Just come back. Simple. Just turn around. I'm right here. In fact, I believe you'll see like the prodigal where the father runs, meets his son who was lost and kisses him. In fact, the word says he couldn't stop kissing him. So trust him in that. I just want to pray a prayer, a blessing over you this morning. If you would say, I've never met him, today would be an awesome day. If you have, man, he loves you. He cares for you. Let's celebrate that. Let's worship and praise God for the greatest gift ever given. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. It is my prayer that if someone out here doesn't know you as Lord and Savior Jesus, that today would be the day that like Simeon, we could look upon you and say, my eyes have seen your salvation. Father, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the gift that is you, God, in the flesh, entering human history just to restore our soul, to bring back Eden, to bring us to a place where your scripture says in Revelations that, behold, the day is coming where you will make all things new, that you are restoring all things, bringing us back to where we were supposed to be in the beginning before sin entered the picture. Jesus is the reason that we can have restoration. We thank you for that. That is why this body gathers together and celebrates on a day like today. It's more than food and fellowship. It's about our eyes have seen the salvation of God, and we can't be quiet about it. We love you. We thank you for Jesus. It's our prayer that each and every person here knows that true personal relationship. If not, we pray that today is the day of salvation. We love you. We thank you. We pray all this in the most precious name we know, the name above all names, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, man. Thank you, guys.